Okay, talking cosmos, possible beginning of the after virtual cosmos chapter, the story of or something like that. So here we took some twists and turns. From the Ice Age to Vedic India, and to into curious aspects and theories within quantum physics. And other science. And you're still with me through the holograms and VR game cosmos. I hope that if not clear already, that it will be soon clear as the pieces of this puzzle, because that's what these snippets are, start to fall into place. Well, just to gather what we've got so far. I took up my pen and sketch pad again. Yes, the three worlds are still there, and the 7 and the 14. But now this bubble with a mountain and water in it starts to look less like forms of matter, which, yes, Western mind, scientific minds often tend to be limited to see and tend to look for, but rather as living being. And yes, of course, we know and say that these indigenous cultures, they the primitive ones, they sometimes see the universe and everything in this world as being alive. The stones and the lakes and the air and the sun and the moon. Yes, yes. Is that what you're trying to tell us? Some old animist primitive religion? But again, if we look at it from the perspective, from the cosmology that we are studying in this book, it sounds less strange to say that there is life everywhere in the cosmos, doesn't it? Because if you followed so far, and this is what I tried to say by jumping around here from different fields of knowledge. Is that we can look at not just mythologically or romantically, this world from the viewpoint of consciousness, us, and then well, most of us believe there is a God of some sort. The supreme, original, all-encompassing consciousness, who is behind the objective reality here. And then, I believe we need to liberate ourselves, deprogram ourselves, free ourselves from the physicalist, materialist perspective that we, many of us in the West at least, have grown up with and inherited. Again, as we say, well, they say 99.99% of this earth ground that I'm walking upon now, and the airplane flying by above my head, and the big rocks and the trees and the everything, buildings down there, as concrete and real and heavy as they may appear to us, they are 99.99% empty space, or something like that. Of course, they want to qualify that because it sounds too blunt. But I would say that's basically what it is, and which we now have looked at, and that's why we were looking at all these waves and things. Interference and the holograms and because, you know, it's a creative process that is being described here. You know, when we look at an object or experience with our physical senses, what's really going on are those waves, or the information encoded in those waves, right? Now, they give rise to a corresponding image there in the brain, however that image is encoded. We looked at the holographic paradigm because it seems to make sense, but anyway, there is an image in the brain, and that image is perceived by us in our minds. This is what we know about the world, scientifically fact. And this goes both ways. That's the point. That our mental images, when we imagine things, they are also projected into that brain, the mind brain, the mind, the brain field. And then also affecting the physical, either by action senses starting to work, or glands excreting hormones and causing different chemical reactions in the body. So in the same way, because what's really, really being created there is that image coming from the mind into that brain. Whether it's in the form of words or geometry or whatever. Or a fantastic world that we then paint or turn into a movie or act out. Or believe we are in. If it's an hallucination. But then, you know, we said that our body and mind and us there, the soul behind it, and the intelligence there, we constitute the microcosm. I am here. Conscious living person, and I have a form here, an avatar in this world that, well, just think of our virtual game, virtual cosmos thought experiment. And then the same thing is there with this, the supreme soul who we are like raised from. Whose body this entire world is. constitutes I guess it's easier than to think that, well, you know, if God dreams, if God imagines something, then sure, it could be as substantial and concrete as this world we have around us here now. It kind of explains it. Although it is 99.99 whatever percent empty space, because again, such as would be logical, when such a creation is made from mind, that it is an information structure. Carried by waves in an energy. And that information structure comes from the subtler level, the subtler platform. From the mind, the astral platform. It's not much more complicated than what's going on between our mind and the brain. God imagines, well, that imagination is not like ours, an illusion, but it's a real imagination because it takes form there in the mind, but then also in that more physical form that we see here. And that's what we have been describing here through the Puranas, and also tried to somehow or other connect to these fields of modern science. Now, someone may say, but come on, Mr. Author, you are quoting all these ancient scriptures from India and even ancient scientists. Don't you understand it's all just an old mythology? Superstitional stuff. Do you want us to go back to the Stone Age? You're dangerous. You shouldn't be allowed to write books. Well, I don't know if there are such people, but yeah. And then I would answer, right, this is mythology. But we have to then understand mythology deeper, what it is, and what those old stories and allegories and metaphors and symbols that the ancients very often and mainly used to convey knowledge, what they actually mean. Because, you know, the actual real meaning of mythology is that which is being told by the means of allegory, metaphor, stories. Generally, because the knowledge given is so advanced, so subtle, so metaphysical, that you can only talk about it in the form of allegory. Using world features that we are used to and can relate to, and that is mythology. Now, I mentioned Bernardo Kastrup, and in his book More Than Allegory, he brings up that, how anyway, whatever he said. And that brought me back to, but now clearer, that thought, now an insight, that yes, we, to understand these cosmic models of the ancients and their worldview, we need to learn to look through their eyes. And now we can get into him, Eliade, whatever his name is.